Harper Audio presents The Daughters of Ireland by Santa Montefiore, performed by Genevieve Swallow.
Barton Deverell, Ballinakelly, County Cork, 1662. A salty wind swept over the white beaches and rocky cliffs of Ballinakelly Bay, carrying on its breath the mournful cry of gulls and the crashing of waves. Grey clouds hung low, and a gentle drizzle misted the air. Swathes of green pastures and yellow gorse rendered it hard to believe the violence of Ireland's history, for even in that dull, early spring light, hers was a flawless, innocent beauty. Indeed, in that moment, when the seemingly impenetrable canopy above thinned sufficiently to allow a beam of sunlight to filter through it, Barton Deverell, the first Lord Deverell of Ballinakelly, vowed to heal the scars of Cromwell's brutality and bring comfort and prosperity to the people over whom he now presided. Wrapped in a velvet riding cape of the deepest crimson, a wide-brimmed hat with a swirling plume placed at a raffish angle on his head, high leather boots with silver spurs, and a sword at his hip, he sat astride his horse and ran his eyes over the vast expanse of land bestowed on him by the recently restored King Charles II in gratitude for his loyalty. Indeed, Barton Deverell had been one of the leading commanders in the fight against Cromwell's conquest of Ireland. After the defeat at Worcester, he had fled across the sea with the king and accompanied him during his long exile. A title and land were satisfactory recompense for Cromwell's confiscation of his family's lands in England and the years he had devoted to the crown. Now he was no longer a young man, thirsty for combat and adventure, but a man in middle age, eager to put away his sword and enjoy the fruits of his endeavours. Where better to lay down his roots than here, in this startlingly beautiful land? The castle was taking shape. It was going to be magnificent, overlooking the sea with towers and turrets and high walls thick enough to repel the enemy, although Lord Deverell would have rather seen an end to the violence. Protestant though he was, and an Englishman to his marrow, he didn't see why he and the Irish Catholics couldn't respect and tolerate each other. After all, the past lived only in one's memory, whereas the future was forged on the attitudes of today. With understanding and acceptance in the present, a peaceful land could surely be attained. He signalled to his large retinue of attendants, and the group continued slowly towards the small hamlet of Ballinakelly. It had rained heavily during the night, and the road was thick with mud. The sound of squelching hooves heralded their arrival, striking fear into the hearts of the people who had witnessed too much blood to be complacent about Englishmen on horseback. Men watched them warily, having not until that moment laid eyes upon their new lord and master. Women blanched, hastily sweeping up their children and retreating into their houses and slamming the doors behind them. A few intrepid youngsters remained barefoot in the drizzle like scarecrows, wide-eyed and hungry, as the English gentlemen, with fine leather boots and plumes in their hats, rode into their midst. Lord Deverell halted his steed and turned to his friend Sir Toby Beckwith Stubbs, a portly man with a sweeping auburn moustache and long curly hair in the fashionable cut of the Cavaliers.
"So this is the heart of my empire," he said, gesticulating with his gloved hand, then added with sarcasm, "I can see that I am well loved here."
"Years of bloodshed have made them wary, Barton," Sir Toby replied. "I'm sure with a little gentle persuasion they can be brought to heel."
"There'll be no persuasion of that nature here, my friend." Barton raised his voice. "I will be a beneficent lord if they'll swear me their allegiance."
Just then, a woman in a long...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?